Christ liveth in me.
Once again, number references are key to Strong's Concordance. Our text, 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? The Greek word for know is to see literally or figuratively, to be aware. It is compared to another word meaning to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. This Greek word differs from a similar Greek word that means voluntary observation or casual vision. We practice this type of observation every day of our lives. Almost everything we look at is seen in a casual way. But when we are interested in something meaningful or beautiful, we focus our eyes upon it, giving it our undivided attention. This is the way Paul knew Jesus. This is why Paul's vision of Jesus was so wonderful, so complete. Paul could say in the words of Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Paul focused his attention on his crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus. All his activities and attention were devoted to this one thing, Philippians 3:14. Like Paul, we should have one priority in life. When we think that several aspects of our lives have the same priority, we become unfocused. Singular focus is critical in our relationship to our Lord Jesus and His service. It prevents our thoughts from wandering and helps us to make right decisions. It makes it easier to take action, the right action. If we desire to let Jesus live in us, we too must make a personal mission statement in our lives of consecration, which will help us focus on what we want to be and do for our beloved Lord Jesus. Our personal mission statement should be the standard by which all activities are measured. Anything not in accord with it should be avoided. The Lord's people have chosen Paul's personal mission statement as found in Galatians 2:20. Revised Standard Version, which is our theme text. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul personalized his relationship with his beloved Lord Jesus. In symbol, Paul died in baptism and was buried with Christ. Paul gave us a lengthy commentary on this thought in Romans chapter 6. Being dead to this world, Paul associated himself with Christ by taking up his own cross daily and following him. Luke 14:27. Daily crucifixion of our human wills is required for complete devotion to the work of God's Spirit in us. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27 from Barclay. I do not run without a goal clear before me. I do not box like a man engaged in shadow boxing. I batter my body and make it realize that I am the master. For I do not want to preach to others and then to find that I myself have failed to stand the test. 1 Corinthians 1:27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery has been revealed to us. It has been revealed to babes. Matthew 11:25. Those who are meek and teachable. Babes 35:15. To act as a babe. That is, innocently. The wonderful characteristics of babes are that they have a lot of blank pages and are eager to observe knowledge and receive love. Jesus said we must be converted and become as little children, for of such like is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:2-4 and 19:13-15. We should approach the life of Jesus with the qualities of a child and come to God with blank pages, ready to let him write on them what he will. The name Christ means anointed. So this text in Colossians is saying, the anointed in you, the hope of glory. What is the best way to learn how to live like Jesus lived? What does Christ live in me mean? What responsibilities are included in this wonderful privilege? The best way to do this is to observe with wide open eyes how Jesus lived by studying his life, what he said, and his intense, close relationship to his heavenly Father. Jesus was born a perfect human being. He kept God's law perfectly and enjoyed fellowship with his Father to the extent which no other human being has ever known. As a young boy, he was also led by God's Spirit in the same way as the patriarchs and prophets were. So at the age of 12, he said to his inquiring parents, "Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2:42-52. Mary and Joseph knew what he was talking about. Each of them had a vision or dream concerning his miraculous birth. Verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What a wonderful life that was for young Jesus as he studied God's law, helping his family with his perfect talents, observing God's handiwork, which he later used so extensively in his gospel ministry. In the third chapter of Matthew, John the Baptist, being 6 months older than Jesus, started his ministry, preaching baptism as a way of repentance and preparing the way of the Lord. As the multitudes came to him to be baptized, just listen to John's fierce words of judgment and admonition. Luke 3:7-8. "O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. As Jesus became 30 years old, he was eager to enter his ministry, which was uppermost in his heart and mind. It was in the setting of John's fierce confrontation with sinners that Jesus presented himself to John for baptism. As John saw Jesus approaching toward him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Jesus asked John to baptize him, and he refused, saying he should be baptized by Jesus. John knew that Jesus was sinless and had no need of repentance. Jesus' request prevailed, and John baptized him. We learn valuable lessons from Jesus' baptism, which represented his death as a perfect man and the exchange of his perfect human life and will for his Father's will. At Jordan, Jesus took up his cross, which he carried for 3.5 years to Calvary, and began to be numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53:12. The people were oblivious to Jesus' view of baptism, which he knew demonstrated to his Father the dedication of his life in his service, even unto death. They knew that John's baptism was a symbol of cleansing of sin, leading to a reformation of life. Those who witnessed or heard of Jesus' baptism may have thought that he was just another sinner who needed cleansing and forgiveness. This was one of the many times in his life when they accused him of being a sinner. There was no compromise in his dedication to his Father. He could have come to John privately to be baptized. He chose to witness to all present what had taken place in his heart, even though they didn't understand its true meaning. God understood that was all that mattered to Jesus. We should possess that same positive decision in our lives of consecration. God desires that we practice all the way what we know is his will for us, and that which will bring glory to his name. Like Jesus, this will cost us something. Let's always remember, my dear brethren, that a sacrifice is not a real sacrifice if it doesn't cost us something. 2 Samuel 24:24. It may cost us our reputation and or our lives, like it did for Jesus. John 16:2 NIV, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Many of our brethren fulfilled Jesus' prophecy. In our decision to follow God's will, the assurance in Job 23:10, "He knoweth the way that I take," should encourage us to come what may in his service in our daily lives, never fearing the consequences or repercussions. While being baptized, Jesus taught us the importance of prayer as dependent children of God. This lesson is found in Luke 3:21. The other three Gospels mention Jesus' double baptism by water and by the Holy Spirit. Luke adds, Jesus also being baptized and praying, communing with his Father, was the way Jesus began his earthly ministry. Jesus standing there in the River Jordan with his hands entwined with John's was the one the prophet foretold who would receive God's Spirit. Isaiah 61:1 and 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus standing there was praying and waiting for God's Spirit to come upon him. Jesus is teaching us that prayer is claiming God's promises. In order for us to appreciate his promises, Jesus encouraged us to ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. The finest gift God desires to give his children is the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, NIV. If ye then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is also teaching us that prayer is power. The time of prayer is the time of power. The place of prayer is the place of power. Let's consider this lesson by reading Luke 3:21-22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened unto him, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Prayer enhances our understanding of the mind of God, so that wisdom and strength may flow freely into our hearts. Jesus' prayers teach us that prayer is not only a privilege, but also a necessity, which is indispensable in our Christian lives. Jesus lived a life of prayer. If he is living in us, we also should live a life of prayer. The word crucified appears 37 times in the New Testament. In the definition of this word, we learn how Paul felt about his crucified Lord, who loved him and gave his life for him. We will try to understand what he meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. How close Paul was, and we should be, to our crucified Lord Jesus. Crucified, 49:57, means to impale, in company with, taken from 38:62, union with or together, by association, companionship, resemblance. Strong said that these Greek words are much closer than a similar word, 38:44, meaning near, the vicinity of. Our English word parallel is taken from the Greek word para. Parallel means lying evenly everywhere in the same direction, but never touching. Paul is saying, I feel a common union with my crucified Lord Jesus. The cross of Christ is my constant companion in life. I am at one with my crucified Lord. I try, do I fail often, to resemble my Lord Jesus, who was crucified for me. The message of the cross is regarded as foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, NIV. Also Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And again he says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, NIV. NIV. Then Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Galatians 6:17. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying these marks are the evidence that I belong to Jesus and that I am being crucified with him. I love to be identified with my crucified Lord. How beautifully Paul personalized the cross of his beloved Lord Jesus. The wonderful gospel of Christ proclaimed the necessity of his death as man's redeemer. John 3:16-17. Over and over and over again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul made the cross of Christ the center of his life and preaching. He said in Hebrews 9:22, NIV, without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. As God's people, we join Paul when he said, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. Paul, being crucified with Christ, meant three important truths. First, participation in the benefits of Christ's death by justification through his precious blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. This included freedom from the law, which was nailed to the cross, forgiveness of sins, and a fervent desire to sin no more. Romans 3, 23 and 24, and Colossians 2, 12 and 13, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Second, Paul felt a physical and spiritual fellowship with Christ, both in his death and resurrection. This wonderful fellowship enabled him to take his former self and cross it out, accepting the mind, will, and suffering of his beloved Lord Jesus. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Third, as a result of these two steps, Paul was able to form a partnership with Christ in his personal sufferings, which required him and us to complete what remains of Christ's affliction for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1, 24 and 25, and Romans 8, 17. Against an oversimplification of Paul's doctrine of justification by faith, his life and letters remind us that to be crucified with Christ is to share his motives, purpose, and way of life that led him to Calvary's cross. Jesus took the burden of the sins of others, forgiving and loving instead of judging and condemning them. Likewise, Paul himself made himself the servant of every man. He labored to create unity and harmony by reconciling man to God and man to his fellow men. Paul, like Jesus, prayed without ceasing, "Thy will be done." He commended his life to his Father as he walked by faith with him. We learn from Paul's crucifixion with Christ that, drastic as it was, with all his sufferings and marks of service, Paul had an inner glow of Jesus' constant presence with him in every experience. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 33. This is why he was able to say, "Christ liveth in me." Paul experienced passing from darkness as the persecutor of Jesus and his disciples to the blazing light of his vision on Damascus Road and the answer to his question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do Acts 9:6. Jesus rescued Paul from his rebellious self to the surrender of his will in exchange for his Father's will. The mercy of God flooded his heart and mind, despite the fact that he persecuted Jesus and his body members. Paul's conscience was seared because of these memories. But God's mercy didn't allow him to judge himself to condemnation. So instead of death, it was a new beginning of life for Paul. Paradoxical as it sounds, being crucified with Christ opened up a new and living way through the sacrifice of his beloved Lord Jesus. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. At that point, Christ became his intimate companion, and what a companionship it turned out to be. That's why we pore over Paul's life and letters, trying to glean insights into his faithfulness as a servant of his beloved Lord Jesus. Jesus didn't take Paul's identity away from him. Paul retained his knowledge, his ability to reason, his oratory, his freedom to make decisions, his forward motion and zeal. Jesus rechanneled his talents. Paul crucified his will in exchange for the mind of Christ and the Father's will for him. Romans 8, 9 to 11, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. With the Holy Spirit infusing his mind, Christ came to live in him. As a result, Paul was able to see God and man through the eyes and actions of his beloved Lord Jesus. His feelings became more like the feelings and emotions of Jesus as he shared Jesus' attitude in God's purpose for man. This close association with Jesus produced many profound works of the Spirit, such as 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. When I think of Paul's fervent desire to let Jesus live in him, I think of a hymn we sang in Sunday school about 70 years ago, which I committed to memory. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. This child's prayer is my prayer for you and all God's people. Paul was guided each step of the way in newness of life, in very trying circumstances, sometimes despairing of life itself, in order that he may fully comprehend the answer to his question to Jesus. What wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9:6. It took Paul a lifetime to learn to understand Jesus' answer to his question. It will take us a lifetime to fully learn what God's will is for us. Some of the answers Paul learned were, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul learned to rely solely on God's grace through Christ. He learned to esteem others better than himself. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Also, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Romans 12, 3. In this way, he learned to think soberly as God granted the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:7. He made himself available as everybody's servant after the manner of his beloved Lord Jesus, who gave his life for him. His humility was outstanding. As he sought to be everything to all people in order that he might gain some. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Oh boy. How may we illustrate the close relationship Paul enjoyed and we should enjoy in being associated with our beloved Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus? Isaiah 61:3, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord God, that he might be glorified. The Hebrew word for trees, 352, means strength, ram, that is, its strength, also translated a pulisser, a strong support, an oak or other strong tree. It is taken from an unused root word meaning twist. By implication, to be strong as being rolled together. On the coast of California are great forests of redwood trees. The manner in which some of these trees grew is unique. Two trees of the same species grow up over the years a few feet apart. Sometimes after 40 or more years, the two trees meet and the bark starts to roll over both trees, making them two trees into one. There were times when a dozen trees springing up from the outer roots of trees that have fallen down have formed a large circle. After centuries, all these trees grow together so that one may walk between many trees through the empty center of a great tree. The outward appearance is that of a single giant tree. Anime and I walked through this tree. While we are all from the Adamic root, a tree that has fallen down, we grew up singularly, and by God's grace, we were engrafted by faith into the root of the Abrahamic promise of blessings. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Apostle Paul encouraged us to grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15, also chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In conclusion, the poet has written, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Paul adds in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. May the Lord bless us, my dear brother, and each and every one of us, that we may continue to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We have a gift for each and every one of you. It's a hymn, Living for Jesus. I asked Anime to type out the type and put it into floral form. And this is the hymn. I'm going to put a bunch of them on the table. Please, feel free to use them. Oh, here's the brother. Okay, may the Lord bless you, my dear brethren. And don't forget to take that beautiful hymn.